There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Your tears are not shed alone, for they are shared grief with an entire nation. We grieve together for every mother and father, sister and brother, son and daughter, who was stolen from us at the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, and here in this Pennsylvania field. On September 11th, 2001, a band of brave patriots turned the tide on our nation's enemies and joined the immortal ranks of American heroes. At this memorial on this sacred earth, in the field beyond this wall, and in the skies above our heads, we remember the moment when America fought back.
'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down.
That's how we get started. 1208 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. 17 years since the terrorist attack of 9/11, and we'll continue to talk about that for the next probably 25 minutes or so, and also coming up next hour, as it is the second Tuesday of the month. That means Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran is going to join us talking about the perspective of first responders in a tragedy like 9/11. Speaking of which, just a heads up quickly. If you did not hear this morning or in the years beforehand, we've been talking about it. It's going on right now at both locations of the original Oyster House. And this is your chance, first responders, to get lunch paid for by the folks at the original Oyster House. First responders at the Gulf Shores location and the Causeway location can stop in today. And just make sure you get your ID or wear your uniform for their 11th annual Never Forget free lunch at the original Oyster House, honoring law enforcement, firefighters, paramedics, sheriff's officers, all by offering their Never Forget lunch. Either location, 11 to 4 today. Go by and get your lunch today. Also, got a note here on the text line. Good. Our friends over at Goldfingers on Dolphin Street. Maybe it's Saraland. I don't know the Saraland location, but for sure, I think it's probably both. But Goldfingers on Dolphin Street giving 50% off to uniformed first responders as a thank you. It's Goldfingers on Dolphin Street. Good for y'all. And I'm sure a lot more places doing things today. You can drop us a note and we will pass that information along. Those are the two that are just folks that work with us here at FM Talk 106.5. I have their notes, but you can add to it. You can either call Dalton, get that information through on the text line, and we'll pass that along as we go throughout today's show. Also coming up, more from Dr. Bill. Of course, we're watching our weather here at home and a look at what's going on with Hurricane Florence, a Category 3, it looks like now. They're talking about at landfall, maybe a 4. We'll get an update on that as something that looks like Thursday night into Friday actually will affect our weather here at home by bringing some drier air in by the weekend. All right, that's coming up on the show today as well. And also, we'll take a look at what's happening in November with the general election, and we'll start talking about AL1, right. That means, House of Representatives, We got a famous name, but a Mobilian, Robert Kennedy Jr. Not that Robert Kennedy Jr., another Robert Kennedy Jr., running for AL1 on the Democrat ticket. We'll talk about that coming up with him at 12:30 on today's show. So lots to do on the way. And I mentioned this. I was in a conversation with a man yesterday. He and I were talking about what's coming up today, 9/11, and he mentioned his experience as the mayor of Gadsden, and was the mayor of Gadsden at the time of 9/11, those 17 years ago today. And I said it'd be interesting to get his perspective. Steve Means, who now lives in our neck of the woods in Baldwin County, served 7 terms as the mayor of Gadsden, now one of us down here in southwest Alabama, but he said okay to join us this morning or this afternoon and talk about what it was like on that day 17 years ago. And former mayor of the city of Gadsden, although I'll still call him Mayor Steve Means, thanks for being on with us.
Sean, it is a real pleasure, delight to get to talk to you. I'm still semi-new down here. Karen and I moved a little over 4 years ago, but we have enjoyed your program so much. It keeps us informed, up to date, what's going on, and it's just a joy to be able to talk with you today.
Well, it's on this solemn day, it is it's good to get further perspective. I've told my story many times on the radio, what was going on that day with me. I know we all have, anybody that was live then, have their story, but it is a different story when you're in a position as mayor of a city, because not only are you responsible for you and your family, you're responsible for the people that you're elected to govern.
Well, that's true, and this was all new territory, certainly not only to us, but to everybody in this country, every elected official. We simply didn't know what was going on, and when you don't know what's going on, it's very difficult to formulate some kind of a plan to deal with it. But we caught on very quickly, and did. We came up with a plan.
Now, okay, I want to talk about that day. And if you're just joining us, talking to Steve Means, former mayor of the city of Gadsden, now living with us down here in southwest Alabama. He moved south. We like that. Are you in the office that day? What's going on? What when you first hear the news of the attack, what goes on? Then kind of walk us through, in a position as a mayor, what you do next?
Well, Sean, there's some things in our life we never forget. We might forget some of the specifics and some of the details, but we don't forget the events. It was a Tuesday morning. Our city council meets at 10 o'clock every Tuesday, and it was about 7. My office staff usually got there around 7:30. I'd come in around 7:30 and 8, somewhere in there, and it's 7:45, and my secretary called me from the office. We had a TV in there when, you know, things of importance pop up, we turn it on to keep up with events. And she says, Mayor, have you seen what's happening in New York City? A plane has crashed into the towers. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I'm standing right here watching it. So as soon as it broke, and I'm a news junkie, I listen and watch as often as I can. It's the first thing I'll do in the morning, certainly when I was in the mayor's office, to see what was going on in the nation, and particularly in the state and area. And they hadn't decided what it was. There was a smoke, and you know, the reports that a plane had crashed, and it could be something to do with the pilot having a heart attack or a seizure or something, or weather, or this, that, and the other. They didn't know. Well, it didn't take but about 15 minutes to figure it out, because I was standing right there in my house watching the TV, and here comes the second plane. And then there was no mystery anymore. Everybody knew that we were under attack. So I called my secretary immediately, and I says, get every department head in my office immediately, and the police chief, fire chief, all the directors. And so I went straight to City Hall, and they were waiting on me. And you know, what do you say? I mean, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know anything except our country, my country, is under attack. And the first thing for me that day was, what does this mean to Gadsden, Alabama? And I'm sure every mayor in the country was thinking the same thing. Every county commission chair, that they, you know, what does this mean to us? And it wasn't long after that that I was in touch with our congressman's office and the governor's office, and they both said the same thing, that we don't know what it is. We just know that we're under attack. You know, they're gathering information, and they said we're under red alert or whatever it was at the time, of the highest security alert, danger alert you can be under. So we started flying by the seat of our pants. If this is an attack, is it the first of many? Is it just, did it start in these large areas and it's going to go throughout the country? We don't know. So what you do when you don't know is you say your prayers and do the best you can. So there, that's what we did. And we dispatched police and fire departments to key areas throughout our city. We have a major tourist attraction, Nakalula Falls. That would be a target for terrorists, I would think. We have a huge Goodyear Tire and Rubber plant, company plant there. We had our water source, our water facilities, power grids, all of this stuff, and just common sense, I guess, told us to keep an eye on those things, look for anything suspicious. So that's what we did. And as the day went on, it didn't appear that anything else was happening throughout the country and in other states and cities. But we kept vigilant, and actually what we did the next day, we got the Street and Sanitation Department and the Parks and Recreation Department. Now, you wouldn't think about them having a national security role or even any kind of a security role. We got them all together, and we said, look, you are the eyes and the ears of this city. We only have so many policemen. You're out every day. You're picking up garbage throughout. You're all over the place. Same with Parks and Recreations. If you see anything, if you hear anything that looks suspicious, that you're wondering about, you call Chief of Police immediately and our Emergency Management Coordinator. So anyway, that's just a brief idea of what we did immediately. And I can take it on from there.
Yeah, and
there.
We're going to run the news break. He's just joining us, talking to a former mayor of the city of Gadsden, seventh term, and who was mayor on 9/11, looking at it from that perspective. I want to get the breakdown of how the communication goes with the state. And I think what the mayor is saying is interesting, because on that day, none of us knew what was next. The next day, we didn't know what was next. You know, in retrospect, you can look at it historically and go, okay, well, that was the attack, but the scope of the attack back then was unknown. We didn't know what would happen next. And speaking of today as well, I want to add this to the mix, and we could talk to Steve Means about this, because I think he went to school and went to college with the governor of the state. Kay Ivey put out today, in honor of the victims of September 11th, 2001, I proclaim today as Patriot Day in Alabama, ordered flags to be displayed at half staff. People were asking about that today. It is, Governor has said that. So that is today, Patriot Day in Alabama, like it is around the country, and flags are at half staff for that reason. All right, head to the news break. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5. Lots of guests in here today. And if you don't catch the entirety of this show next hour or something like that, that's cool. Podcast available as soon as the hour's over by going to our website, fmtalk1065.com, or better yet, subscribe for the podcast through iTunes for Apple users. Stitcher, there's others, but Stitcher, the one I like for Android phones. Check it out. Okay, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:23, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here. Let me add something to the mix. I just retweeted Cajun Navy folks. They are saying if anybody's interested in volunteering, and they have a form out looking for volunteers as they're getting ready to help out here. Cajun Navy folks are thinking about mobilizing to head to the Carolina coast. You know, they do good work. Also, my friend Ben said he's a buddy of his is a lineman, has been sharing posts on Facebook from co-ops around the country that are already mobilizing to the Carolinas. Teams from Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Florida so far. We'll see who else gets added to this list. But yeah, feels great, he said, to see Americans helping each other, especially today. Yeah, there is that. And there was that day after of course, the 9/12 effect that we've talked about in the past, and how do we get that spirit back in our country. We are talking about the events of 17 years ago, which, by the way, too, the online opinion poll question on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. There's been some rumblings nationally about making this a national, a federal holiday, you know, so the holiday versus Day of Remembrance. Do you think it should become a federal holiday? Right now, 82% of y'all say yes, you think it should. And continue our conversation with the former mayor of the city of Gadsden, seven-term mayor, and now one of us down here in Southwest Alabama. I don't care if it's 4 years, you're now one of us, Steve Means, talking with us. So, and thanks for your perspective on this. So what is it like? You talked about what you did in the city. As the mayor, what was the communication like? How did it? What's the communication chain? Without, you know, obviously we're not going to give any state secrets here, but the communication chain to you as a mayor. Do you hear from the governor? Do you hear from somebody else in state government? Does it come from a federal? How does that work?
Well, it wasn't a deep, dark, clandestine thing. It was very much open and out in front of everybody, but. You know, that was before we had the, it was only after the attack that they came up with the Department of Homeland Security. So we didn't have that, but what we did have was emergency management. We had other agencies that dealt with things like this, and I appointed a liaison, someone to be their contact person. We notified the governor, the senator, and our congressman, and everybody that you notify. This is our contact person concerning this attack. And he was contacted by everybody, sometimes daily, sometimes every few days, depending on what was going on. But there was constant, and I mean constant, contact between the city, the state, and the federal government all the time. And basically, we would tell them, they want to know what precautions you're taking, this, that, and the other. Now, remember, within a week after this, it cooled down. And when I say it, I'm talking about the imminent threat. That sort of cooled down a little bit. I mean, everybody's still scared to death, and it's a very dangerous time. But there wasn't, you know, we were told there's not a lot of chatter over the airwaves and the this, that, and the other about any imminent attack or anything that's going on. So things cooled down a little bit on that note. But for about 10 days to 2 weeks, there was daily conversation with all areas of government, which is refreshing. I mean, I got to tell you, people think, you know, listen, this is a partnership. We all got to work together.
And that's one thing. I mean, you point out the creation of DHS, but in addition to that, the walls brought down in between different intelligence agencies and law enforcement groups to communicate together. We even saw that to some degree here in the state with the formation of ALEA. I don't know if it was specifically because of that, or they said it was for saving money for the state, which can be argued. But the I'll leave it at that. But the because you know we consolidate and we have less state troopers than we did before. So but with that communication, do you feel like looking in retrospect, we're in a better place? God forbid, we deal with something of that level again. Are we in a better place for communication than we were then?
Well, we are, and you know, I'd like to say it's all for good, but I can't say it's all for good. Did we go too far in some areas? Probably, but it goes back to the age-old question: what's more important, your security or your privacy?
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's a tough thing. I'm glad that I'm not part of that decision-making team. I serve my time at the local level, which is what I loved and wanted to do. But these people in Congress and they in government, they have a tough time trying to walk the narrow line to do what's right without crossing over. But yes, as far as intelligence, communication, sharing information and all, we're light years ahead of where we were prior to the attack.
Well, I appreciate your perspective on this, and hopefully we'll get you back on the show soon to talk more with us. We'll just talk some politics here in the state of Alabama. Maybe you can give us some stories. Can you give us some KIV stories from back in college? Anything like that? Anything? and can we break any news?
Man, I'll just leave it at that. But I do. I look forward to talking with you. Like I said, I've been listening for 4 years now, and I'm glad I got to talk to you. And And I'll close out by simply saying that it was no question in my mind that if this attack shut America down, made us something we're not, made us afraid, we go in our houses and close the doors, they win. If we go on about our business, they lose. We had a football game a few days later. Should we play it? Should we not play it? Keep being America. And then we had a lot of Muslim students at our community college. That's another story. And there's a lot of stories, but I've enjoyed sharing a few of them with you today.
Yeah, and you, we'll revisit this. We'll have you back on soon and talk with you in the future.
That'll be a lot of fun, and sure enjoy your program.
Thank you. Former mayor, seven-time mayor of the city of Gadsden, Steve Means, joining us right here on Midday Mobile. All right, coming up after the break, speaking of wanting to get into the world of politics, a man running for office here and coming up in the general election in November, running for AL1 representative, and that is a pretty famous name, so I'll give you this. You'll hear the name, but he's one of us. He's a South Alabamian Kennedy. I know you hear that name, and if you're looking at brand notice here for a last name when it comes to world of politics, it's a good one when you have the name Kennedy, but this is Alabama's Robert Kennedy Jr., running as a candidate for U.S. House of Representatives, AL1. Join us here in just a second. Also, speaking of what the mayor was saying there about the who wins and when we accept, you know, a change of lifestyle because of terrorism, I think the president, and it was an hour and 20-minute speech, but I think one of the best speeches in a long time from President Trump about that. Maybe we'll post that up on our social media platforms. You can go back and watch it if you have not heard it yet. All right, weather with Dr. Bill, some news headlines, and then we're coming back. Robert Kennedy Jr., our guest right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and welcome back, Midday Mobile, on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here, and good to get this man in studio. I know I've been emailing back and forth with your lovely wife, Robert Kennedy Jr., running for U.S. Congress, Alabama 1, joining us now. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
And let me say this. I'd say this on any other day, but especially on this day of 9/11. Thank you for your service to our country.
You know, it was my honor, you know, to be able to serve the country on active duty. And an aside, I actually came off of active duty on July 13th, 2001. And when September 11th hit, I was on the phone with my brother, who was still serving at the time, and I decided then that I was going to volunteer and come back in a second time. And so I had the opportunity to serve again.
Wow. So, I mean, you saw what happened, and you felt what so many Americans felt. They had to go do, not just back here at home, physically go do something.
I was compelled. You know, so I had just started at Duke University, the Fuqua School of Business, and a few weeks prior had looked across a crowded room and saw the woman who was going to become my future wife, Aquilin Laurie, now Aquilin Kennedy. But when the towers fell, I was actually on the phone with my brother, and we were talking about what the implications of that were. And I just felt compelled. You know, I had been educated by the American taxpayer to that point. I was trained and I was ready to go. And so that's the reason why I raised my right hand a second time and agreed to support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Wow. Two times. So thank you twice from my family and the American people. And that has to be a tough decision. You're sitting there at the business school at Duke.
Yes.
Talking MBA and go, you can go get back on a ship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually went into the Naval Reserves through a process that's called reaffiliation.
Okay.
So this was where you drilled 2 days a month, 2 weeks a year.
Okay.
So I drilled between Greensboro, North Carolina, where I was, and actually the Reserve Center here in Mobile, Alabama. Those are the two places. And then I did my 2 weeks actually here in the shipyards in Mobile.
Okay.
So I didn't actually get activated, but I was on the list and I was ready to go.
You know, we look at that. You mentioned the shipyards in Mobile, and it's tough 17 years later thinking about, and that's what I was talking to Steve Means about, is how we felt. We didn't know what was next. You know, in retrospect, in the textbook now, we can say, okay, well, that was the attack, but back then we didn't know if there was wave 2, 3, 4, 5 coming.
Absolutely.
You know, and would it strike here in Mobile, or would it strike anywhere in our country? So thank you. Let's talk about you.
Sure.
First of all, as a recognizable name, Robert Kennedy Jr., pretty good one. But I say you are Robert Kennedy Jr., not the one from up north.
So actually, it's a little funny story. So I actually ran for the United States Senate last year in the election that Doug Jones ultimately won. There were 8 Democrats on the Democratic side. I was the one who came in second in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, I was talking about your name back then, too. I said, wow.
Yeah, and actually during that process, Robert Kennedy Jr. of the New York, Massachusetts family actually called me.
Okay.
Yeah.
You say, hey, Robert.
So,
hey, this is Robert.
Yep. So we actually got the message. We thought it was a joke at first, but he has some people in the Mobile area that were calling to confirm that. And so when he left the message, he actually referred to himself as the other Robert Kennedy Jr. So it was kind of a nice way for us to get introduced to each other.
I want to talk about this, looking through, as you're introducing yourself to more voters in the state of Alabama. I thought this was interesting because your opening line here, other than talking about your time at the U.S. Naval Academy graduate, former naval officer, but you also point out you are a fiscally responsible Democrat who leads with faith. Now, explain all those things to me.
Absolutely. Well, let's put the two things in the bucket. So first, I talk about being a child of God on a journey to Judgment Day. So I grew up in the church. My home church is Greater Morning Star Baptist at 401 Donald Street in Tolmanville.
Yep.
And so that's the relationship that I've had the longest. And so I lead with love and I follow with faith. And I always keep in mind that what we're ultimately trying to do is to get to Judgment Day and to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Right.
So when I leave that and I talk about being a fiscally responsible business leader and applying that to public policy, this is the thing that actually resonates with people quite a bit. Because people think a lot of times, because of the national media, that Democrats don't necessarily count their pennies.
Right.
So when I talk about being fiscally responsible, this is what I mean. Any government program that we have should have a goal, it should have a success criteria, and it should have an evaluation time frame. If the program is meeting the goal during the time frame that's been established, that program should continue to get funding. If the program is not meeting its goal, then we should retool it. And if over time it continues not to meet its goal, then we need to do something else. I said I'm a different kind of candidate, right? And that's something you normally don't hear.
That's an MBA speaking. It's with that business acumen. So basically you're judging it, any kind of government program, the way you would kind of a business model? Is that, I mean, whether this is working or not working?
Absolutely. It's the same thing that we would do in business, and it's the same thing that we would do in the military. Now, this actually applies very well in the election that we're having now. When you look at the composition of folks in Congress, when you put your R hat on or your D hat on, there are a lot of times when everyone's just fighting against each other, literally over nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're operating in the military environment or if we're operating in the business sector, we're not asking if anybody's a Republican or a Democrat.
Right.
We're asking, what is the goal?
Mm-hmm.
What are we actually trying to accomplish? And then we work to accomplish those goals. And so because we have such a high concentration of attorneys that tend to be in the political spectrum, a lot of times it becomes issues of advocacy, not necessarily issues of accomplishment. And that's the reason why I think my particular candidacy resonates, because I use that very simple formula to determine whether or not we should continue to do anything.
So what does this look like? So let's say you're in Washington and you get this in place. This has now become the way the nation works.
Yes.
And there's a program, whatever. Okay, I'm looking at the hurricanes heading to the Carolinas.
Yep.
And FEMA will respond, federal program.
Absolutely.
Do you judge FEMA by its how it does in responding to storms, and therefore, if it doesn't do a good job, FEMA is dissolved or becomes something else? I mean, is it like that you look at these federal agencies or programs by outcome-based?
The concept of applies. FEMA is a little different, right? Because the very first thing, when you look at the purpose of government, is safety and security.
Yeah.
So in any natural disaster, you obviously have to have the ability to respond to that natural disaster.
Okay.
So probably a more appropriate example would be to do observations and lessons learned based upon what happened in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that everyone is not happy with the results of what happened. So if you look at the amount of time that the country was out of power, for example, what would be the responsibility of the federal government to take those lessons learned from that to figure out how to get that power on faster? Because we know if it could happen in Puerto Rico, and Puerto Rico is the United States of America, that it could apply anywhere.
You could argue, and we could get down to the, you know, down the rabbit hole here and talking about well, the infrastructure in Puerto Rico versus the infrastructure in Mobile County. I mean, there's that nuance.
Absolutely, but the point that I was making in terms of the specific example is with something like FEMA, you have to think about that a little bit differently.
Sure, fair enough.
With other government. Okay. Where it would apply is you take, for example, what happened with the tax program.
Okay.
Earlier in the year.
Right.
Right. So Representative Byrne has been going around and touting the strong nature of the economy under a tagline that's better off now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've actually responded to that by changing that statement to a question and asking, are we really better off now?
Okay. Right? And meaning what?
Meaning what? So if you look at the numbers as they actually come out, and the three numbers people typically refer to are the stock market, the unemployment rate, and the GDP. And the one that people tend to cite because it's to their advantage is the GDP for Q2 of this past year. So all three of those indicators are pointing in a positive direction. I wouldn't argue that at all. But if you look at the sequence in which the administration performed their actions, they did a tax cut first, and then they did an increase in spending next. And so what ended up happening was you end up having a larger annual debt than what you had previously. And then the deficit is growing at a larger rate than it was previously. Now, the argument's going to be that the growth in the economy, if it happens over the long term, would bring in enough tax dollars in order to fill that gap.
Rising tide floats all boats.
But if you were looking at that from a business perspective, the only thing the administration's talking about is the top line growth. No one's ever talking about how much the hole is getting deeper in the short term. And that's the perspective and thinking that folks like me end up bringing to the conversation before you start talking about R's or D's.
All right, coming back with Robert Kennedy Jr., running for AL1 Congressman. We'll talk more about this and get your questions from the text line at 343-0106. Be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Remember, online at FMTalk1065.com. Online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Should 9/11 become a federal holiday? Right now, I have it 84-85% of y'all say yes. We did go through that discussion this morning. As long as it would be a pure day of remembrance and not turn into, and with all deference to all our advertisers, not turn into a day for some kind of comforter sale or something like that. But that's you can vote online. Let me know what you think on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. Guest in studio, Robert Kennedy Jr., running for Congressman AL1. And we were talking about this during the break that I mentioned, was reading through here. You're volunteering with, it's a name that I haven't thought about in a long time. It's Congressman Callahan.
Yes, yes.
And how'd you get involved with Congressman Callahan?
So I actually went to John S. Shaw High School. And my senior year in high school, it was when one of the paper companies was having a strike. I actually went to that session, and whereas most of the conversations were about the strike, I actually raised my hand and I asked them how we could get air conditioning for our school.
So, you go as a high school student to that meeting in Nasca?
Yes, I was the...
I like it.
Yeah, I was the president of the Student Government Association.
Okay, all right.
And so that was what I was trying to figure out how to do. And I figured I'd start asking questions until somebody actually gave us the right answer. And then when it was over, I went up, I introduced myself, and he asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up. And I told him I wanted to go to the Naval Academy and become a naval officer. And he had been in the Navy. And so he actually put me in touch with the folks in his office. Joe Bonner was chief of staff at the time, and they helped me navigate the process to actually get to the Naval Academy.
Yeah, we were just talking about this yesterday on the show with Academy Night last night. You were there.
I was at Academy Night last night.
So how do our kids look?
You know, I told folks this over and over again. When I see young people with the core values of honor, courage, and commitment, who in this time of multiple wars are willing to volunteer to serve, that gives me hope for our country. You know, and for me, it ends up being an additional honor because I graduated from the United States Naval Academy. Even though it was the Academy Night and Representative Byrne's names on it, I still felt compelled to go and sit with the other Naval Academy delegation just to be able to give young people the information that they need in order to make an informed decision as to what they want to do for their future as well.
All right. Talk to me about this. coming up November, November 8th. Why should people vote for you versus Bradley Barton?
Sure. Well, the first thing is you have to take the R's and the D's off. Right. Part of the problem I think that we have right now is that folks hear the word Republican or Democrat and instantly go to their fighting corners.
That's truth.
You know? So when you take that away and you actually look at the two of us, there are two things that distinguish us. The first is my professional background. Number one, I served in uniform. I raised my hand, I volunteered to serve, not once, but twice, before and after 9/11. He actually tells a story of going out to RIMPAC and interacting with the sailors who are out there. And you know, whenever someone of his stature comes, there's somebody that's painting the bulkhead, so it looks really nice as he's going around. I'm the person that comes at it from the perspective of painting the bulkhead. I was actually there doing tours overseas and leading sailors through dangerous situations. The second thing is that the bulk of my professional career has been in business. So when someone starts asking questions about the economy and how it really works, and I told you as a fiscally responsible business leader that happens to be on the Democratic side, is I know how math works. And I am passionate about making sure that any government program we have has those three components: a goal, an evaluation criteria, and a time frame in which it needs to be evaluated. And the third thing, which is perhaps the most important thing that distinguishes me from Congressman Byrne, is the fact that I'm here. So if you look at the 12 town hall meetings that he did throughout the congressional district, for the most part, they were all audiences that were very friendly to him. Of the 12 that he conducted, my wife and I attended 10 of those 12. And in 7 of the 10 that we went to, we were the only African Americans that were actually in the room. And so I'm willing to step out of areas that are considered the core of my base in order to go to areas that are deep red, because I want to represent everybody. And while there's a lot of rumbling right now about the current congressman and his desire to challenge Doug Jones in 2020, there are people within this congressional district today that are not adequately being represented. And those are really the three things that I think distinguish me. And what would be absolutely fabulous, and this is something that perhaps you could help me out with, is I believe that it would be absolutely wonderful if folks in the local area would be able to see me and Representative Byrne discuss these issues for our community at the same place, at the same time. That's something that we haven't been able to do to this point.
All right, we'll see. I am no purveyor of debates. comes to state politics or national politics. The debate word, you know, we'll see. One of the you brought something up, and I'm reticent to get into this with just a few minutes left, but maybe I'll challenge this. If we don't get it done now, we'll come back and talk about it again. The thing that drives me crazy and is where we've ended up, especially, you know, when people say R&D and you say, well, you're getting outside of your base. And this idea that that we're defined by our skin color as what party we would be part of. And that's a huge frustration. On the morning show, on this show, I've talked about my burqa test. I'm not bringing back burqas, but the idea of having everybody veiled, given a number, and you vote on the person on the issues, and then reveal. Because talking about people going to their corners, it is counterproductive to our country.
Yeah, I agree. I was earlier at the Alabama Retired Teachers Association. They're having a convention out there at the country club.
Were they all smoke? No, I'm sorry.
No, not at all.
teachers of the past.
Yeah. And so I actually had the opportunity to address the audience. And I put this in context for you historically. So my mother graduated from Central High School in 1950. She never sat in an integrated classroom, not one day of her entire career. She started as a clerk typist for the Department of the Navy in Washington, D.C., when typing pools were still segregated. Okay, she's gone for 30 years, marries my dad, has a couple of sons, comes back to Mobile in 1980. So that's when I got here.
Right.
So when we first started, I went to Bessie C. Fonville Elementary School in Tolmanville. Do you recall Brown versus the Board of Education in 1954? People often forget about Davis versus the Mobile County School Board in 1971, where the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that Mobile County schools are still segregated. So I start with that and say, the promise of integration was that if we all studied together, that you would end up with people like Robert Kennedy Jr., who could go to the Naval Academy because I had the requisite qualifications.
Yeah.
So while I agree with the statement that you made that we have got to get beyond all this stuff about party being associated with color, there's historical context around it. And by virtue of the fact,
but we could do better.
Right, but by virtue of the fact that you and I are talking right now, that's us chipping away at it.
Well,
and
sure.
So we have to continually reach out. And so, like, for example, I was in Seminole, Alabama, mm-hmm. at one of Congressman Burns' town hall meetings. And I was sitting down with a gentleman afterwards, and he was like, you know, I never get a chance to talk to someone like you. Now, the first thing that comes out the most common in those audiences, they're talking about Democrats. And
right.
They'll tell me, I've never talked to a Democrat who actually sounded like you before. And my response is...
What, fiscally responsible?
Right. My response was, I actually sound like hundreds of thousands of Democrats all throughout the state of Alabama. The problem is the whole national media,
mm-hmm.
and where all of the coverage is going right now are folks who are considered to be to the far left. It's not folks like Robert Kennedy Jr. that they're normally talking to. And then the second thing is, and this is where he actually cut in, he's like, yeah, that was true, but I never get to talk to a black guy. So remember, okay. Remember what I mentioned was of the 10 town hall meetings that my wife and I attended, 7 of them, we were the only 2 African-Americans in the room. So I'm doing outreach.
Yeah, well, some right? more folks should go.
Exactly, but I'm saying it needs to happen on the other end. So the only question that I asked Congressman Byrne the entire time that I was with him was a question about the mercaptan spill that happened in 8 Mile mm-hmm. in 2008. So I could leave and go to 8 Mile to High Point Baptist Church, and I can see a room full of people who look just like me who are complaining about nosebleeds and headaches and respiratory problems. But I had never seen him or his staff in a room like that. So it's when we get to the point that folks who are currently in office now will go into areas that don't necessarily represent their base, that's when I know we're making progress. So I'm doing my part on my end, but I'd like to see some folks do their part on their end as well.
All right, let's do this. People want more information about you. Where do they go?
Yes, you can go to my website at kennedyforalabama.org. That's Kennedy, the number 4, Alabama.org. Or they can also contact us on our social media on Facebook or Twitter at Kennedy for Alabama.
All right. Thanks for coming in. Good to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. And remember, everybody, Robert Kennedy Jr., Alabama's 1st Congressional District.
All right. We will put that information up on our social media platforms as well. Coming up next hour, it's Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran on this 9/11. We're talking about first responders and what it's like 17 years later. It's all straight ahead.